Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I am a little bit, not superstitious, but I am, as many of you know, very skeptical of a lot of things. I am definitely a glass half empty dude instead of a glass half full. I am trying really, 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 really hard to think, holy cow, maybe they got it right. And maybe this isn't just a four-game thing or a six-game thing or an eight-game thing. Maybe this is real. Maybe this is like Tom Brady in New England real, Peyton Manning in Indianapolis real, Josh Allen in Buffalo real, Lamar Jackson, even though, you know, Lamar is still not a great passer in my opinion, but he doesn't have to be because it's so dynamic with his legs. And, oh, by the way, Derrick Henry, right? But I'm still like, oh, man, because how many times have we seen quarterbacks have, again, moments, stretches, a brilliance where you think it's all going to be awesome and forever enshrined in Canton? And I mentioned two examples last hour. The Eagles and the Jaguars were on top of the NFL world, basically. Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, midway through last year. And they've been just, I don't want to say disasters. Trevor Lawrence has been a disaster. Jalen Hurts has been okay. It hasn't been anything special since midway through last year. Success is so hard to sustain in this league. I'm trying so hard to believe that this is actually it. I don't know if I'm quite there yet. Because I don't know if my personality, if my guts, my instincts, my experience is just going to allow me to completely flip the script. But I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to think this is more than just a four-game unbelievable stretch of play. That this is the real deal. That this is long-term. That this is not permanent, but as permanent as you can get in the NFL. It's just going to take me longer. But, man, what you've seen in the first four games, not only from Jaden Daniels, but from the offensive line and Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler the first two and a half games and Jeremy McNichol the last game and a half, McNichols, I should say, and Terry McLaurin the last two games and Noah Brown the last three games and Zaccheaus came alive a little bit yesterday and Luke McCaffrey looks the part and Zach Ertz looks the part. Oh, my God. Like, all of a sudden, right, you think, maybe they are really, really good. And maybe they can sustain this for 17 and then for 2 years and 3 years and 4 years and 5 years. It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask. I hope my guard drops ever so slightly, inch by inch, day by day, week by week. It's starting to slowly go down, but it's still there. I'm still very apprehensive, if I'm being totally honest. It's not because I don't believe in Jaden. It's just because I believe in the law of averages, and I believe in, you know, injuries are the greatest equalizer and the greatest detriment to success that there is. It's not whether a quarterback is smart, dumb, accurate, not accurate, on time. I mean, of course, part of it is that. But injuries are as big of a determining factor as of a individual player, and specifically a quarterback's success, along with the team's success, as anything. And you see it, yeah, sure, Indianapolis beat Pittsburgh yesterday. By the way, hello, we picked that game on Friday. Had Indianapolis straight up and Indianapolis plus the 2.5. Hello. and they won outright. But Anthony Richardson's hurt every other snap. Right now, so far, there's no evidence to think that's going to be Jaden Daniels. But all it takes is one hit, and it could change around the compass forever. All right, let's get to Paulie in the 757. Paulie?
Hail to the W, man.
Hail to the Paulie.
It's called football, Chris.
What?
It's called football, man.
Yeah.
It's called football.
Did you call me Chris? You never do that.
Yeah, you know why? That's because I'm peed off with you right now, man. See, the problem with you is, man, you're scared to let your golden ass hang out to tidy whities. You just want to be the first guy.
Paulie, I don't wear tidy whities.
You just always want to be the first guy to say, see, I told you, instead of letting nuts hang and go out there and sit on them. That's the problem. You know what I mean? So, it's like you're talking about, we was the first show up here. No, what are you talking about, man? You and your purple sidekick, Linnell, y'all was killing the defense for the past two
years. We were killing Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne.
You were killing.
How many times last week did I scream about them getting off the field in the first half?
You said you're gonna let us talk. You said you're gonna let us talk. All right. And then you still intervene.
Okay.
All right. Come on, man. Y'all always killing. I don't want to come up here. I said relax. I said, yo, it's going to get better. They got to play together. You need some cohesion with this defense. Number one, they playing a lot of players. There's not too many people that has a spot that's just locked down. If you look at the snap count, a lot of players is playing. You know what I mean? I know some of that had to do with the short week also, but still, they're playing a lot of players. And I seen some of that cohesion come into effect on Sunday. One particular play, third and short for Arizona, they motioned the guy into the slot, number four, right? He clearly was the primary receiver. Snap of the ball, Wagner jumps the route. Right, and Murray had to come off him, and he went to the next guy, Noah Eye right there, boom, bat the ball down. I seen that. I said that's when the defense is starting to understand the scheme and their responsibilities in the scheme. So, listen, we might not be the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens, but as long as we get better from week in to week out, just get better at everything. At one little thing, each week we'll be all right. But don't sit up here and talk like, oh, well, this was the only show. That's a lie, man.
It was.
Don't take shots at my man Kevin. Don't take shots at my man Kevin Sheehan either. Talking about the DVOA.
I mean, that's
a lot of nerve, man.
What do you mean a lot of nerve? That's all I heard all week long was DVOA, DVOA, DVOA. What do you want me to do? You want me to respect kindly? You want me to react kindly to that?
Sandwiches a day.
Huh?
45 meatball sandwiches a day, my tidy whities won't have stains in them. What are you talking about, man? Stop it. Just admit
Paul,
when you're wrong sometimes.
Paul, you're crazy to think that I'm going to sit here and listen to a week full of DVOA talk and not respond to that. There you go. I mean, that's not me, but I mean, when I have to hear it constantly on both stations and all over Twitter from all the Twitteraholics, I'm going to react harshly to it. Sorry.
Paulie, please finish your point on Twitter. I do think you were going somewhere, but that was too
Where
perfect.
Where was Paulie going?
I don't know.
I mean, he was specifically calling out Kevin Sheehan. Kevin was just one of the shows that I heard it on. Just one. Because here's the thing. Like, they're right that the defense did not play good in the first three games. Nobody would suggest that they did. But my point was, hey, you know what? Against the Giants, by hook or by crook, they only give up 18 points. Against the Bengals, sure, they gave up more than that. That's a juggernaut offense that was desperate. They got off the field three times and almost got off the field on a fourth and goal. And against the Cardinals, again, I thought they would be worse. I did not think they would do as good of a job with Kyler Murray as they did ultimately. So I was skeptical, if you will, of the defense. But most people were thinking, because their DVOA, which people don't even know what that is, was one of the worst of all time. I heard it over and over and over and over and over again last week. It was shoved down my throat. Okay? So I'm sorry. I'm going to react harshly to that when it's full of donkey crap. You don't like it? You don't like it. Sorry. I mean, that's me. You want me to sit here and go, yeah, guys, all right, yeah. The formula says that they're a horrible team and they could never rebound and they never do anything right and they can never improve and they can never help a team win a game. You want me to do that? Fine. I'll do that. That's not what my eyes tell me. That's not what you listen to this show. You don't have to agree with everything, but damn it, respect that I bring some different opinions to the table. I don't do cookie-cutter sports talk radio or media coverage. 301-230-0. You know, again, that means sometimes it's going to rub you wrong and annoy you like it did Paulie. And Paulie's mad at me about everything. Let's go to Rudy and Glen Burnie next up. Rudy, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Acknowledgement. Victory Monday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, well, we can now we can move on to the happier part of the program, right?
Yeah, that's right. Look, I think that, you know, what the team is doing differently, you know, and it didn't show up in the first week, or it showed up a little in the second week, but we're playing better complementary football. You know, if the offense is keeping the ball for like 6-7 minutes, we're not, you know, the defense doesn't have to do that much, you know, and that's what happened with the Cardinals, you know. Every time we went down 11 play drives, you know, taking up 7 minutes off the clock and scoring a touchdown, you know. So it's hard for them to get back in the game if we're doing that.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know, I wouldn't even say they were gashing us with that running game, because most of those gashes came after we were up about 13, 20 points or something like that. You know, that's when the running back for the Cardinals got most of his yardage during that time, you know, when he went over 100 yards and everything else. But that's all I had to say, Chris. Your show is great, man.
I appreciate you, Rudy. Thank you. I appreciate you for being a positive leader of the show of the Russell Nation there. I appreciate you, pal. I'm just teasing. I mean, Paulie and I, like, we spar and we argue and we yell. We respect each other. I love Paulie. But the point being is, again, like, don't get mad at me for bragging or for making sure I point out that I'm right. Again, every other show in America, in this town, every other show was bitching and moaning and pounding on DVOA last week. Every other one. This show did not mention DVOA in any other context other than to bash it. Not because it's not a worthwhile tool, but it's what people live by. It's all that they can, like, process. There was no thought by anybody that, hey, you know what? The numbers, the raw numbers, might be really bad. But they got off the field three times in the first half against Cincinnati, and then they went out and obviously did a much better job against a more pedestrian offense on Sunday in Arizona. How did they do that? Well, they tackled a little bit better. Their pass rush was better. Jonathan Allen and De'Ron Payne were better. Frankie Louvu was great. And so on and so forth. Let's get to, you want me to go? All right. Double A is with us. Athan in Annapolis. Hello, Double A. How are you?
I'm good, but I don't know why anybody calling into your show is worried about what kind of underwear you wear or what's in your underwear. That's very concerning.
Well, that's a good point. But, of course, me, I stepped right into it. I was like, come on, Paulie, I don't even wear tidy whiteys. Oh, man. Oh, I tell you. What am I going to do with these people?
Well, I'll say this. I'd like to get a sound bite for the show. And if your son's willing to do it, Tyler gives the best yeah of anyone I've ever heard. So if we could get Tyler to maybe record that a few times and Matt to put it on, that's what I'd like to play every Monday after the team wins, because this is exciting. You know, I guess Matt's never really seen them win like this, or neither is Linnell. You know, I called in to talk to Doc last night, but I will say this. The home crowd is going to be there on Sunday. And you have a team that's coming off the rails, and it's desperate in Cleveland coming in here. And I'm not a DVOA guy or any of that stuff either. I just go off of what I see, and I get your point, Chris. And listen, Kevin Sheehan is one of the most solid, polished evaluators out there. Much respect to him. But I know you just are going off of what you see also. But there's a very desperate team coming in here on Sunday. They will take us two steps backwards if they find a way to lose that game, because they are better than that team. But the team has a good defense. But their quarterback's already off the rails. They still have a solid running game. They have a good wide receiver out there. Very solid to see that they came out and kicked someone's ass on yesterday and just put the foot on their throat and wouldn't take it off. I was glad to see that. But now it's time for the home crowd, before we go to Baltimore, to show up, support this team, go 4-1, but not regress and be in a nail biter with a team that we're much better than on Sunday, because they're coming in here desperate.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no reason why they should take that step of regression from a defensive perspective against Deshaun Watson and the Browns. Again, now they're, like you said, desperate, all that. The last time Deshaun was here, he ripped them up in the second half. Now that was a way different team. I don't expect that. I don't think you expect that. I don't think anybody expects that. But, yeah, it would be a really bad sign if they get lit up like a Christmas tree by Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Now, where there could be a regression is, hey, man, like, are we going to really score 40 points again against a Cleveland Browns defense, which is way better than the Arizona Cardinals and way better than the Bengals? I don't think anybody should expect that. You know, so that will be the tug and pull, if you will, this week. I'll try and get Tyler to weigh in. I know he was pretty excited, not only about the Commanders' win, but also about his hometown Las Vegas Raiders beating those Cleveland clowns as well yesterday.
Thank you, Double A.
Appreciate you as always. Good to hear from you. 220, Team 980. We'll get to the rest of you on the other side. Bill in Upper Marlboro, you'll be first, and then everyone else fall into line. 301-230-0980. We continue along on a Victory Monday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, right back at you, 222 and change, right here on a Victory Motown Monday, taking it up till 4 o'clock, as the Commanders are 3-1, averaging 40 points a game, 2 games in 5.5 days, both on the road. Jaden Daniels, obviously, superlative after superlative. If you haven't seen all of the numbers and all of the, again, historic milestone moments and achievements and whatnot, we'll probably go over them a little bit later on in the show. I don't want to, like, spend a whole lot of time on that, just because I'm busy, like, trying to figure out, okay, how did they accomplish what they accomplished yesterday, and how do they accomplish it again, or something close to that again? I mentioned earlier in the show they had the interception and the punt in back-to-back drives, which ended the 16-drive scoreless or scoring streak, excluding kneel downs, over the last 2+ games. And then I mentioned how they got right back on the horse, right? They kicked the field goal late in the first half, right at the buzzer, after the fourth down stop, and then they came out guns a-blazing early third quarter. To me, that is another sign, in addition to the fourth down gambles, if you will, the 2-point conversion to Zach Ertz, where you just see that Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury have implicit trust in Jaden Daniels. That, again, that doesn't mean that he won't make a mistake. That does not mean that. It just means that we don't have to cover up for this kid. We don't have to not take chances because he's overwhelmed or overmatched. If anything, others are overwhelmed and overmatched, not him. Maybe not a big deal to you, but it is a big deal to me that we're four games in, and outside of some communication issues and some burnt timeouts, yeah, he's missed a couple of guys, as we talked about in the first game and a half of the season, and there were a couple of guys in the first half of the Cincinnati game, and I'm sure when I go back and I slow everything down, I'll see a couple of guys. I know on one he missed, I think it was on the interception, he missed McNichols underneath. I'm sure I'll find stuff that I didn't like, but big picture, there's just so little not to like, and he's so advanced. It's frightening, and they trust him implicitly, as I outlined with the three fourth down conversions on Monday night and the fourth one yesterday, and again, maybe even yesterday, more impressive. Fourth and one at the 40, up 24-7. Man, that's play it safe territory. That's punt it away, take a five-yard delay, a game penalty, you know, territory. That's go for a long field goal territory. That's not necessarily just go for it. I mean, of course teams go for it, but it's fourth and one from the 40, and you're on the road playing two games in 5.5 days, and you're up 24-7, right? That is usually roll up your sleeves and play a conservative time, and yet Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury are saying go for it, and they did, and McNichols rips off a 15-yard run. All right, let's get back to you on the phones. Bill is in Upper Marlboro on the Team 980. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Hey, Chris. Good talking to you. Haven't talked to you in a good little while.
Good to talk to you, too, Bill. I appreciate you.
Hey, great win yesterday. And my question might not be on the topic of today, but I'm going to just throw it out there to you because you always get to it and clear it up. And I'm going to just ask, if Jay Daniels keeps up the way he's doing, right? What's the probability of his contract? Do you think they can re-sign him, or is it going to be an issue for the team in the future, or how do you think they will handle that? I'll sit back and listen.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you. Yeah, look, it's not a topic for right now because they can't do anything about it until after year three. They can't even try to negotiate a long-term extension. But I would assume if he's anything close to what he's been the first four games, by that point, 2.5 years from now, Jaden Daniels is probably going to make $75 million per year. That would be my guess. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure the cap will be $300 million or so by that point, but I don't know how all that's going to work. But yeah, that would be my guess. 70, I mean, it's already over 60. 75 might be a strong, let's say between 70 and 75. That would be my guess, 2.5 years from now. But they can't even do anything about it until after year three. They can't even approach it, have any negotiations or anything like that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lawrence in Annapolis next up. What's up, Lawrence? How are you?
Not a whole lot, Rooster. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Lawrence. Thanks for the buzz.
Hey, of course. I mean, every day I'm listening. So
I appreciate
it. Here's my thing, and this is a little bit more of a question. I guess to your point before, let me ask you this way. Do you think it is the responsibility of the media to report and kind of be the mouthpiece of what the general fan base are thinking, or do you think that the fans kind of take their cues from the media? Because to your point, I feel like every fan I talk to, every media outlet, they were ragging on this defense. And like you said, although the numbers weren't very impressive, it's almost like if you're watching the game, they were so close to having a performance like we saw yesterday, but nobody was speaking on it.
Yeah, it's a great, fascinating question. And the truthful, honest to God answer is, you know, I think it's a little sprinkle of all of that. I don't think it's the media's responsibility to, to do anything other than tell it as they see it. The problem is many of the voices in the media are not watching the games closely. They're watching it casually, and they're not thinking of you know, they're thinking about it from a gambling perspective. They're thinking about it from a fantasy football perspective. They're thinking about it from an analytics perspective. They're not thinking about it from a, hey, you know what? I know the defense sucks, you know, in a lot of spots. They're going against a juggernaut offense like Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, so on and so forth, on the road, Monday Night Football, blah, 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 blah. I know that, but, hey, man, what about those three drives that they got off the field in the first half? What about that almost, and again, almost only counts in horseshoes and hang rates, that almost fourth down stop by inches in the late third quarter that they could have gotten off the field? And who knows week to week how it will translate, but you had a feeling that because they played a little bit better last Monday night, and don't forget, like against the Giants, people are like, oh, they're so terrible. They gave up 18 points, right? If points allowed is like the number one most important metric, they gave up 18 points. You know, it's not like they gave up 38 against the Giants. They gave up 18.
Exactly. And the thing that stood out to me was to your point before as well. And even in week one against Tampa, we were giving up a lot of third and longs. But in order to give up a third and long, that means the defense held on first and second down.
Good point.
You ask me, there was no way our third down defense was going to be that bad for the duration of the season.
Yeah, really good point. You're absolutely right about that, because that was a major problem. I remember being at Raymond James, and throughout the game, third down was a killer, and it was the first thing Dan Quinn said. And to your point more, Arizona was 4 of 11. On third down yesterday. Now, they were 1 of 9 against Detroit, so we're not talking about, again, a juggernaut offense here, but they were 4 of 11 on third down yesterday. And more importantly, here's the bigger thing from the defense, at least in my perspective, and maybe I'll feel differently watching back the game again, Lawrence, but they kept Kyler Murray in the pocket. Like, they did not let him run all around like a Houdini, you know, pulling, again, magic tricks out of his hat, right? They just did not do that. I'm sure there were times where, you know, maybe that I missed or I'm not remembering, but for the most part, they kept him hemmed in, and then the pass rush, as the game became more and more one-dimensional, was able to tee off at a couple of big spots.
Yeah, so I've been waiting for this performance all season so far. But, I mean, again, man, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, no, great call. Appreciate you. Thank you, Lawrence. Good to hear from you. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll get back to your calls in just a sec. First, a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, very sad news out of the world of basketball with local ties as well. Great Georgetown great and pro basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has lost his battle with brain cancer and passed away at the age of 58, the NBA announced. Of course, Mutombo starred at Georgetown, then starred in the NBA as a tremendous defensive presence, playing 18 seasons, 7'2", was, again, a league defensive player, top defensive player 4 times in the NBA, 3 All-NBA selections, 8-time NBA All-Star, finished 20th in rebounds, or I should say he ranks 20th in rebounds, and had the second most blocks as of right now to Hakeem Olajuwon, as Dikembe Mutombo has sadly lost his battle with brain cancer at the age of 58. Tonight, 2 Monday night games to wrap up week 4, much like we had last week. It is the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins at 1-2, and they're going to start Tyler Huntley, who just got to the Dolphins just a week ago or so. He is going to play. We have that game for you right here on the Team 980 with pregame coverage beginning at 7:15 via Westwood One. So Titans, Dolphins right here, Monday Night Football on the Team 980 and, of course, the Odyssey app. And the other game is the Detroit Lions hosting the undefeated Seattle Seahawks at 3-0. Seahawks missing a bunch of guys in their front seven, so certainly should be a challenge for them. Tonight on the 106.7 The Fan at 6:45 with the Capitals and the Blue Jackets in preseason action. And that is what's trending. All right, if you're paying attention to the baseball playoffs, it's not technically the playoffs until tomorrow. Today, technically, the final day of the regular season. The Mets and the Braves are going at it at Truist Park down in Atlanta. The Braves are up 2-0. Halfway home? Middle of the sixth, it looks like. I don't know. The TV feed is a little bit choppy here in studio. I think it's middle of the sixth inning. Now, normally we would not be talking about the Braves and the Mets, but just because, A, it's two NL East teams, one. Two, if here's the weird deal. If the Braves win this game and hold on, they're in the playoffs, they play a doubleheader today. The Mets and the Braves play a second game today because of all the hurricane rainouts and because of some funny stuff that the Mets did and baseball allowed and so on and so forth. It's a big controversy in the baseball world. So they actually play a doubleheader today, right? When everybody else is done, Nat season ended, what have you. If the Mets get swept in the doubleheader, they're out and the Diamondbacks are in. If the Braves win game one, they are in. But if the Mets win game two, they're in as well, and the Diamondbacks are out. And then both teams have to go to their respective road cities, one to Milwaukee, one to San Diego, and play tomorrow. Interesting. It's part of the reason why, you know, I've been critical of the Nationals when it comes to rainouts and rain delays and rain announcements, because a lot of us that pay attention to this stuff think it's because of gates and financial reasons as to, you know, on both ends, as to why fiascos like this take place. Again, has nothing to do with the Commanders. Just wanted to brief aside and keep everybody up to date. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get back to the calls, and we'll get to Lou right here. What up, Lou? How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, Chris?
What's shaking, man? Lou? Lou, do you like this coaching staff better than you like the last one?
Do I like the what?
The coaching staff. I just want you to be happy.
Of course.
Okay.
Are you crazy?
I just want you to be happy, being that you blamed Ron Rivera for everything.
Of course. Come on, Chris. It's obvious, man. What he has done to this organization, I don't even want to go back. I just want to enjoy the moment. I don't really care about the past 4 years. I care about the future. I care about what's going on. I care about my quarterback. I care about this fans. I care about everything. I care about our ownership. Shout out to Josh, Magic, everyone, man. They making it happen, man. It's happening. It's too quick. The lady that came on. And I still, you know, it's surreal to me. I'm still like, is it happening? But it's really happening. And I feel like, look, man, every game means something from here on out. Whether, you know, like Paulie said, these guys got to get, like, they got to play together in order for the defense to get better. And I just felt like as time goes on, I think that once they mesh together and, you know, that that team thing is going to you're going to see the interception, all these other stuff that people care about. I think it's going to come along once they get it together. And, you know, I still do want some pressure. Don't get me wrong, but I still don't like the gap. You know, we giving up 6-7 yard every first down or second down or third down, whatever it might be. We got to stop that. The defense got to, you know, our D-line, we, you know, these guys, like you mentioned, they get paid a lot for them to step up and to stop the run.
But in fairness, right, they came alive yesterday, right? They were better on Monday night, not good enough. They were really good from a pass rushing perspective yesterday. Now, what they still weren't good enough at is run defense. And again, the second Arizona drive was really disappointing, but I think, I could be wrong, I think it was a matter of they were gassed. And this is what I keep bitching about, 2 games in 5.5 days, both on the road. Again, maybe they shouldn't have been gassed. I don't know. But the bottom line is they played and they appeared to be gassed. Otherwise, you know, maybe they force a field goal on that drive and they give up 10 points instead of 14. My point is there are enough promising signs between Armstrong, between Frankie Louvu. Bobby Wagner was better yesterday. Jeremy Chin's been real good the last 2 years. Even Emmanuel Forbes had a couple of, you know, like one or two nice past defense breakups. Dante Fowler wasn't as big of a factor yesterday, I didn't think. But you get my point. Is they they are starting to come around, and while it's not good enough right now against a really good offense, they don't need to be great if the offense is just even sort of clicking on cylinders, on most cylinders.
I mean, Chris, if not for Jaden and this offensive line, shout out to this O-line that had me shook for a minute before, you know, the season started. I don't know what they was, you know, what they've been doing. I mean, just no penalty. I mean, they look, man, whatever they're doing is working. You know, like I say, man, shout out to Jaden and the offense. I mean, they holding on to the ball and they holding the other offense on the bench. So if they doing that, I just think that the defense need to do their part every time. You know, you coming on the field after 7 minutes later, I mean, you got to do at least you could do just stop and stop giving up touchdowns or something.
Well, they
stop the run.
But again, they've done a better job, is what I would say. Again, I mean, they only allowed 14 points yesterday. We can't expect them to be better than that. We just can't.
Yeah, as time goes on, like you said, as time goes on, I think they're gonna catch up. And you see Frankie, you see everybody else flying. So even, you know, 13, he's out there doing his thing. So look, as time goes on, I think they're going, you know, once they gel together and
hope so.
And they, you know, yeah, they're going to be all right,
hope
man.
So.
I'm just happy. I'm like just excited and, you know, just happy, man. It's just surreal, but it's happening, man. I love it. And everyone else, that guy from Doc, from the producer last night, Doc was, I was listening. He was giving him hell. He's a Giants fan.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know his
yeah,
name.
Yeah.
I think it's Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Doc likes to rub it in when you like another team, no doubt about it. Lou, I got to run. I appreciate you as always. Let's get to Mitch in Jersey here. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Mitch. What's going on?
How you doing, Chris? What's happening? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Good. Can you say that, what's the saying? It seems like Jane Downs, he's also a great start. He's looking good. You could say he's the protege and Lamar is the mentor. Do I have that right? Just want to make sure I get that right.
Well, I mean, is Lamar really a mentor? I mean, no, because Lamar's not really a mentor to him. I mean, there are similarities in their game, yes, but I mean, I've always thought that Jaden coming into the NFL, and certainly after four games, is a much more polished passer than Lamar ever has been.
Right, and he can run. You don't want him running because we have two good running backs.
Right.
So you got to love it. Besides Eckler.
Right. Now Lamar's got a good, really good running back, too, now, with Derrick Henry. So I'm hoping, for Lamar's sake, he becomes more of a passer, which I thought he started to do last year. I mean, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag so far this year, but Jaden is a passer first. Everybody has said that. That is absolutely true. If you look, again, the biggest sign of improvement for me just the last couple of weeks is the fact that he'll roll and he'll escape some pressure, and not every time. He does pack it in and run. I'm not saying he doesn't, but a lot of times, maybe half the time, maybe two-thirds of the time, he'll look to pass, or he will pass, even though he's scampering or on the run. And to me, when you're keeping your eyes up as a quarterback and you're keeping your body in throwing position and then you're able to flip your hips and, you know, again, get a good, strong, accurate throw and even get 5 yards, 7 yards, 9 yards, whatever it is, like we've seen a bunch of times in the last couple of games, to me, that's the number one thing that I look for in a young quarterback, because that tells me that they're not just running with no awareness and no plan or no intent to throw. Jaden is just the opposite.
It's just great to see. I think we might have the best team in the division, NFC East rather.
Well,
and the Browns.
Yeah, for now they do.
The way our line played yesterday, especially our defensive line, and how we get Farrell back, I like a chance because Cleveland's in disarray.
Yep.
They have three quarterbacks. I like to see DTR get to play. Watson, he should have been suspended.
I mean, we're not going to. Thank you, Mitch. We're not going to relitigate that. I mean, he was suspended. He's playing. He's not playing well. They scored an early touchdown yesterday in Vegas, and then they didn't score again. Like a touchdown, they had a defensive touchdown. Their offensive line, because of injuries, because they lost Bill Callahan, I guess, has been a little bit of a mishmash. The Giants sacked them seven times yesterday. I didn't see how many times the Raiders sacked him. I got to double check that. But they didn't have Max Crosby. right? So, you know, again, this is a this is an offense. I'm hoping this is an offense that I can ask the Commanders' defense to not give up any more than, you know, 17 points. I mean, it's not always realistic to ask for 14 points, right? 17 points? Can you give me, you know, 17 points? That's not, certainly not bad. You know, maybe some people would think negatively of that. I wouldn't. Let's get out to Cliff before the timeout. What's up, Cliff? How are you?
First, I want to start off giving my condolences to the Mutombo family.
Yes, absolutely.
And yesterday's game, I didn't know Washington was going to put up 42 points, but I did say that they should beat the Cardinals on Friday, which they did beat the Cardinals. And I'm starting to wonder now, because at first I was saying Baltimore is the measuring stick game. I think Cleveland is going to be the measuring stick game. Because even though they lost Bill Callahan, they lost that game yesterday to the Raiders, Cleveland's going to come to Northwest Stadium pissed off. Hopefully Washington can win.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to anoint Jaden Daniels yet until after the Baltimore Ravens game, and I'll sit back and listen.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, listen, I'm not anointing anybody. I don't do that kind of nonsense. You know, he's been great. He's been awesome. I ain't anointing anybody yet. That has not changed. Deshaun yesterday was 24-32, a buck 76, a touchdown, an interception, had a short touchdown pass early in the game, midway through the first quarter, and that was it from a touchdown perspective. They did get a long Dustin Hopkins field goal, and they did have a 25-yard fumble return for a touchdown, and the extra point failed. For Cleveland, they lost 20-16. Just real quickly here, let me give you this. The Raiders sacked Deshaun Watson three times without Max Crosby. So that's better than the 7 sacks they allowed to the Giants, but that's also not as good of a pass rush. So we'll see what Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler, Jonathan Allen, and Daron Payne can do this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Huge game, obviously. If they can go to 4-1, that allows you at least the, you know, if you don't think they're ready to beat the Ravens yet on the road, fine, understandable. That allows you to be 4-2 at the 6-game mark, which honestly, like, I would have told you probably much more likely that they would be 2-4. As opposed to 4-2. 301-230-0980. Jay Gruden joins us in about 10 or 11 minutes on the other side of 3 o'clock right here.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Commanders are 3-1 at the quarter pole of the NFL season, even though there's 17 games. It's as close of a measurement if we can. What are they, 23% of the way through the season? Whatever it is. Used to be 25%. 13 games left. Yeah, Matt and I were discussing, like, I picked them to be 7-9-1 this year. I mean, obviously that's not looking like a real smart prediction. It would be very disappointing if they only won 4 games out of the next 13, right? Be very disappointing.
That'll turn what started as a glorious beginning of the season to a fairly disappointing season.
Yeah, yeah. Remember last year they were 2-0 and then only won two more games the rest of the way. Now, obviously, there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. We haven't even gotten into the nitty-gritty stuff yet, just because we haven't had time. I mean, we've done a little bit of it with the fourth down stuff, the two-point conversion, the game strategy stuff. I mean, the blocking, the offensive line, Biotish on the Daniels touchdown run, Tony Wiley, Andrew Wiley on the McNichols touchdown run, the penalties that they overcame on the McLaurin touchdown. I mean, just so many little things that come out of a game. Let's get to Aries Tony here before the top of the hour, and then Jay Gruden on the other side of three. What's up, Tone? How are you?
What's going on? Hey, I'll give you a sample, yo, one of your group. I can't tell you why.
Nice. I like the falsetto in your voice. I like it.
Yeah, man, I do a little something. But rest in peace to Dikembe Mutombo. He will forever be etched into the centers of Mount Rushmore's in Georgetown. So rest in peace to him. Man, I love it. Chris, it's a breath of fresh air from last year. And just think, man, we one win away from the total wins we had last year. Four wins. We one win away from that. So,
you know, that's a really good point. I just went over what happened last year. Tony, I don't think anybody's pointed that out. They can literally tie their win mark from last year. I'm going to give you credit, but they can literally tie their win mark from last year this Sunday.
Yes, very much. So, like I was telling your man right there, I think we're going to surprise some teams and everything. I don't think, you know, we're going to really sweep away a lot of people, but we're going to sneak up on some folks and everything, and I love it. And tell you the truth, Jaden kind of got us spoiled, because when he gets on the field, we expect greatness. We expect something's going to happen when he gets on the field. Because, look, Coach Wade hasn't punted since the first game. Golly, I mean – so I think we
did punt once yesterday.
Yesterday. I'm saying since the first.
Oh yeah, gotcha. So, yep.
So yeah, man, I'm loving this, and I just hope they keep this train rolling. And I might even try to go to the game Sunday.
Attaboy.
So, I'm loving it.
Attaboy. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you. And you should love it. I mean, it's been a long time now. They've got to sustain it. You know, a home loss to a Browns offense that largely stinks and a defense that's been asked to do a lot but does not stink is actually pretty good still. Not great, but still pretty good. Like, that would be a real disappointing slap in the face. But it also should be expected in today's NFL. Hopefully they can exceed expectations, or, you know, the should-be stuff. All right, Jay Gruden, straight ahead. We'll ask him all of this and more coming up next on the T980 and the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.